Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Social distancing, testing, short-term prescriptions for slowing the spread of coronavirus, but in the long term, in order to get back to anything resembling normal, we are going to have a 1-2 punch, a vaccine and more effective treatments. So where do we stand? Dr. Peter Hotez is dean of the National School of Tropical Medicine at the Baylor College of Medicine in Houston. He's been with us before. Doctor, thank you again for taking time out to be with us. So start off with a simple question. Where do we stand on, and I know it's only a short amount of time that's gone by, but as you know, people are anxious. Vaccine treatments, any progress?
Well, there's actually progress on all fronts, both vaccines, which are going to be the longest term and the furthest out, new drug treatments, which were sort of midterm, and then this convalescent antibody therapy, which we're hoping we can roll out now. So you're going to see new initiatives roll out in the coming weeks and months. With regards to the vaccine, we're probably looking at least a year away, according to Dr. Fauci, maybe 2 years away. We have a vaccine that we've developed at Texas Children's Hospital and Baylor College of Medicine. There's going to be at least a dozen others that are going to go through various stages of testing to see which one is the most efficacious and which one also is the safest. So you're going to get a lot more information. Unfortunately, it won't be ready in time for this 2020 epidemic. But we've prepared for that. So the National Institutes of Health and FDA and BARDA, as it's called, are all hands on deck trying to advance new therapies. We have some old drugs that we're trying to repurpose towards this epidemic. You're hearing a lot about hydroxychloroquine, mixed feelings about that one. And this new convalescent serum, where you take patients who've recovered from the virus, have antibodies, and then you could give those antibodies back to sick patients in order to reduce the severity of symptoms and increase the likelihood they'll survive their infection.
So if you've got mixed feelings about the hydroxychloroquine, how do you feel about the other thing?
Which other thing? The convalescent antibody therapy. Yeah, no, I that one, you know, has a proven track record, at least for the last coronavirus that was affected North America. It was the original SARS. So this new one, COVID-19, is caused by SARS-2. SARS-1, there's pretty good evidence to show that it works. And what you need to do for this is set up blood banks, and often this is being done at academic health centers, and it's probably being looked at places like UCLA or USC medical centers in Los Angeles. And what you do is you identify a group of patients who recovered from the virus, have antibody, and there's now evidence to suggest that if you develop antibody, you could be resistant to a reinfection based on non-human primate studies. Collect that serum, give them back their red blood cells, and then process it, and then use it as a treatment, especially for patients who are seriously ill. The one catch to it, though, is it works better if you give it early on in the course of infection. So if you wait till patients are very sick, it seems to be less effective. So it's getting the timing right and figuring out, okay, which patients are you going to prioritize and which are the most likely to benefit from the therapy.
So for somebody out there, especially someone in a high-risk group, they're elderly, they have comorbidities, maybe both, and fear that if they get this, it's going to be virtually a death sentence. True, false? Are there things, therapies out there now, even if they're just being tested, that give them hope?
Well, right. So this convalescent antibody therapy is definitely the first one that's going to be rolled out. And you're right, individuals over the age of 70 are at higher risk. It's still not a death sentence. It's a higher mortality rate than younger people. But even younger individuals now, we're starting to see some severe illness. So the Centers for Disease Control came out with a report a week or so ago showing that roughly of the hospitalized patients, about a third were between the ages of 20 and 44. So that's a really important message that young adults need to hear. It's not just a matter of their social distancing themselves to protect grandma and grandpa. They're actually at risk themselves. Even though the mortality rate, the death rate's not so high, we don't know if that's because they're just being able to survive intubation and ICU procedures. So it's really important that young people take this illness very seriously.
So this is going to be probably a question you can't answer, but I'll ask you anyway. Everybody keeps saying we can't wait for things to get back to normal. And I'm not even sure what the word normal means anymore. But I suppose at some level, normal means being able to go back to restaurants, theaters, group activities. When do you think we go back to normal?
Yeah, no, I totally get it. I mean, how long can people live under these kinds of circumstances? And obviously, we can't do this in perpetuity. The potential good news is there's some interesting modeling exercises done by epidemiologists at the University of Washington, Seattle. And anybody can go to it, so it's very transparent. There's a fantastic institute called the Institute for Health Metrics and Evaluation, and you could just go to healthdata.org, one word, healthdata.org, and they have a COVID-19 portal, and you can look at each state. So, for instance, I'm just pulling up California now. I have it in front of me, and there's actually projections of when the epidemic will peak in California and when it should go down. And the projections are roughly that California should expect to peak around April 26th and then start to decline as we go into throughout the month of May. Now, again, it's a model that's based on assumptions, and the assumptions, in turn, are based on what we've seen so far about the virus, and it is a brand new pathogen. But at least it gives you a sense that you're not in this for perpetuity. That this will start to decline, especially as we move towards the middle of May.
Problem with the peak, though, and I think people think, "Oh, peak! Once we get past the peak, it's good." But the other side of the peak, you got to come down. So the next day is just a little bit better, and that's going to take a while to come back down.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Think of the peak like the eye of the hurricane. It doesn't mean that you're out of the woods. It just means it's the rest is still to come. But at least at this point, it doesn't necessarily mean you're going to have to live like this for the next year. Now, again, it's a model. We're going to have to reassess as we approach the peak, and maybe things will change. But and then the other big issue is, what happens to the virus then? Does it go away permanently, or does it come back? And most of us think that it will come back. We just don't know when. Is it going to be later in the fall? Is it going to be around this time next year? And that's where the vaccine comes in the likely event that we're going to be looking at this virus in the out years.
Yeah, you anticipated what I was going to ask you, which is some people are saying, maybe this thing will just go away, but it's not going to just go away, is it?
Well, again, it's a brand new virus pathogen. We don't know for certain. I mean, let me give you an example. Zika virus infection. Remember that one? We were worried about pregnant women, and that rose very dramatically in 2016 in Latin America and the Caribbean. We were worried about the U.S. It wound up hitting South Texas and South Florida, and now it's gone. It's completely vanished. when does that come back? And so there are certain things we just can't predict. So I don't think we're going to get as lucky with COVID-19 as we did for Zika. I think it will come back. I just can't tell you exactly when. But again, that's why it's all hands on deck for the vaccine, even though it's not going to be ready in time for this peak and probably won't be ready in time for 2020. It will be ready in the out years, I think.
Dr. Peter Hotez, Dean of the National School of Tropical Medicine, Baylor College of Medicine in Houston.